In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. When I was in college, there was a ritual that literally unrolled every May. A week before graduation, a bunch of trucks would roll up with a big, green, fuzzy bundle of sod spools. These huge, green, fuzzy things. And in the course of a few days, the lawn in front of the main library would be transformed from a kind of shaggy, uneven, mangy-looking pelt of grass into this pristine, emerald field of perfection. And flower beds miraculously became color-coordinated and groomed. And the shrubs, running kind of wild, straightened up and developed into decidedly geometric shapes. All just in time for the crowds of students and alumni and family attending graduation to arrive. And now it looked good for about a month, but students being who students are often, they took shortcuts along the grass and walked on it a lot, and so very soon the pristine green became worn and uneven, and this illusion of rootedness and growth became clear. Nothing had penetrated the surface. Jesus' parable in today's gospel gets at this reality, that growth is discerned over time. And when it comes to the reign of God, there is much work that is hidden until it's not, and then it's abundant. And so Jesus names the range of things that get in the way of life and growth. The scenario that Jesus describes would have been very familiar to his audience. In an agricultural society, it was a common thing to see farmers cultivating their fields. And whether you're speaking literally or figuratively about making things grow, the common theme is this: it's hard work. It's constant vigilance against things that threaten the crop that you're trying to cultivate: bugs, birds, drought, poor soil. And when your survival depends upon how well your crop does, the factors that threaten it are constantly on your mind. Now, the farmer in Jesus' parable has a very interesting approach to his task. He's throwing out large amounts of seeds onto ground that has not yet been plowed. So the seed goes everywhere. Scholars differ upon whether this would have been seen as normal or wasteful. But for the purposes of the parable, the point simply is that the sower isn't stingy in throwing the seed out there. And as a result of the farmer's approach, there are a range of outcomes that will soon become obvious. Some seed becomes bird seed. It's devoured. It never has a chance to grow. Other seed is off to a great start and grows quickly and looks impressive, but doesn't go deep enough. Other seed grows but gets choked out by thorns. And then there's this seed that sinks its roots deep into the soil. And the evidence that it has taken hold is in these abundant crops over the long haul. But what does this have to do with God's reign? And what does the kingdom of God even mean, or the reign of God? After painting this picture, Jesus goes on with this interpretation, and he uses birds and the heat of the sun and thorns as these metaphors for the things that get in the way of the seed's growth. They're allegorical, really. Birds represent the spiritual reality of evil that seeks to block God's work in the world. Shallow soil, the sun, and thorns are metaphors for trouble and persecution and what Jesus calls the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. As those hearing Jesus would have understood very well from personal experience, there are many things that can block growth. But beyond these images and warnings, there's a foundational metaphor that Jesus uses about the reign of God. And the image is this: the words that Jesus offers are seeds. And if you notice, throughout this gospel, there's this exhortation to listen and to hear. Because seeds bring life, And Jesus offers his life-giving words generously and inefficiently to people who are often seemingly unreceptive and hostile. This parable reminds us that we never know, nor do we control, how words take root in us or in others over time. And it's an invitation to humility for us, both in ourselves and as what we perceive happening in other people. Because seeds work on their own time, and seeds are subversive. Anyone who has had to resurface a driveway or a sidewalk, or have had a tree's roots disentangled from your plumbing pipes, knows this. Seeds can start as funny little harmless pods that look like mini UFOs that have landed on your lawn, and then they sprout into fragile little saplings that take root and grow over time. And when they do, other things around them must give way. They quietly and gradually fill spaces, often beneath our notice, and then all of a sudden they push and rearrange things. And before you know it, your sidewalk turns into a small mountain of broken cement. And most of the time, when trees get to this point, we cut them down. They've disrupted our walkways, our plumbing, they've rearranged our surroundings. Seeds are subversive, because in them is new life and new growth. And Jesus is describing how people will respond when his words disrupt their lives and start moving things around, pushing up against things. Some people won't hear. It won't sink in. Or it'll get to a certain point and they will say, "Go no further. This is gone." Others will allow his roots to occupy their hearts and minds to a point. But the prime real estate of their hearts stays untouched. Ultimately, Jesus' words and Jesus' very person are disruptive and subversive, because new life does this. This farmer, this sower of the seed, was possibly, in the view of many, foolish. This parable doesn't present him as making efficient use of his resources. But when seeds are understood as the life-generating words of God, words of new life, words of healing, words of hope and freedom to those in places of despair, this kind of excessiveness makes more sense. The sower does not live in an economy of scarcity, but in an economy of abundance and of grace. And Jesus knows that the words of God are powerful seeds, and that he can afford to be generous in offering them, because the words that do take root will be powerful and fruitful. As the words from today's reading in the book of the prophet Isaiah declare, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It may take time, and results may not always be immediate, but Jesus understands the power and the promise of God's words, even in the midst of opposition and discouragement. And so we are faced with a few questions as we are confronted with Jesus' words both today and more generally. And I return to the injunction in our gospel, the injunction to listen, and then the injunction to hear. We need to do both. We need to listen, and we need to hear. Can you think of anything that Jesus has said in particular, either today or at another time, that has unsettled you? How do Jesus' words disrupt our lives? What do they push up against if we let them? Will we let them? What will we do in response? Will we shut out something that Jesus is saying to us that pushes against that place we don't want disturbed? Can we allow Jesus' words to change the way we approach problems in our lives, or to change the ways that we view other people? Can we allow the seeds of Jesus' words to bring a disruptive grace into our lives? Not many of us here are farmers, so perhaps we need to draw upon the image of the seed of a tree. Can we allow Jesus' words to rearrange our well-laid sidewalks? the paths of our lives that we have so neatly paved and that we think we have just so? Can we wait for growth? Can we trust that Jesus' words bring life and growth and fruitfulness in the long term? And will we keep our hearts open to listen and to hear and to allow those words to take root in us? I invite us all to wrestle with listening to God's voice this week and to ask God to show us how to let God's words of new life change our lives. Because as we do this, we make room for God to transform us in ways that we can't even imagine. And our lives can become signs of God's abundant mercy to a world that is longing for mercy and justice and hope. Amen.